you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
She's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about now. She's taking care of her voice, so you know that she's not gonna shout now.
She's not gonna shout.
So get your headphones ready to hear what it's all about.
We'll
have no fun, cause your Trippers podcast comes out today.
No Fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast episode. I don't know what episode this is, but this is a different episode because I don't usually do interviews. I've done some. And this one, I couldn't be more excited about my friends, Dan, Bran, and Panda from the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Welcome, boys.
Thank you. The privilege of all privileges.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
This is an exclusive club. Just anybody gets interviewed by Jen Kirkman on the No Fun podcast.
That's true. You are joining the ranks of John Cryer and Dana Carvey.
I mean, That is way out of our league.
Yeah, wait. Well, listen, I don't know how I pulled those two either. I don't know how you guys have more listeners than me for sure, but hopefully it'll just be different people.
But your Patreon, Jen, it doesn't even like ours, we just don't do what you do. Like, you crush the Patreon game, and we like have our own service, but like, you are getting it on the Patreon.
I hope so. I mean, and also this will go, so the video version will go just to Patreon subscribers.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey, Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon.
And then the audio version will go to the world.
I love it.
And I'm thinking, now the audience is getting the inside scoop here. Your book that you wrote, and we're going to get into it, comes out, I believe, September 28th.
Yep.
So this episode will come out the day after your book is out.
Fantastic.
So people can buy it first week. Because a lot of my listeners, I don't know if you experience this, they'll write me an email like, oh, I'm 2 months behind. So we're going to get everyone from September to December. I want this in every stocking.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Love it.
Just thinking.
Yeah, I like marketing stuff. All right. So I'm going to not make you guys answer the same questions over and over. It seems like I'm going to talk a lot, but you'll talk most of the time. But so let me just explain to everyone listening. Deck the Hallmark is a podcast hosted by three guys, three friends. It began in, I'm sorry, was it 2017 was the first episode?
2018.
Yep. And what they do is they watch every single Hallmark Christmas movie every year. Now, it's expanded to be more than that, but I'm just starting with the basics. And they do a podcast recap of it that has four segments. They give their hot takes. They give all the feels. If they got those Christmas feels watching the movie, they give a what, which is obviously why we all tune in to hear them talk about all of the ridiculous things we see in Hallmark movies, like why wasn't their cup filled with liquid? I don't understand why you'd quit your job as a lawyer to become an ice sculptor. And then a segment called What the Hallmark, where they just wonder what could be if there's a spinoff or something. So it's such a delight. And I became a fan, and I'll tell you guys my story and then I'll let you tell yours. But you guys don't know how important you are to me, because I have a rule that nobody should ever get engaged around Christmas. If your marriage does not work out, you have ruined Christmas for the rest of your life.
Right. That's right. Agree.
Totally. Right. And also, it's like, you know, I feel like you're kind of missing out on extra presents and celebrations if you celebrate your engagement.
That's true. Yes. You're true.
So I never did anything like that. But I had a big, giant relationship that was on and off for like 10 years. And we met in New York City at Christmas, like week before.
Oh, boy.
Now, we had known each other, like, we'd never met in real life, but we had mutual friends, and we were always, like, tweeting and emailing, and I didn't think it was a romantic thing at all. But I was curious, but I happened to go to New York. I go every Christmas, I go to New York, visit my friends there, and then I go to my family in Boston. And it's my little Jen, I love Christmas time. So I meet this guy in person, we have coffee, and it's literally kind of just that, like, love at first sight thing, and he's Jewish, but he gets into all of my Christmas stuff. He loves Christmas. We go tooling around the city for days. So now he's like, this love at first sight is firmly implanted in my DNA. That's what Christmas, you know, he's now become part of my Christmas. So we date on and off for years. And he eventually moves to LA, not for me, but we live in the same city. And it's just, I can tell that things might not work out. I can tell. We're going in different directions in life. I don't think he's happy. He knows Christmas is my favorite time of year. We celebrate it every year. Now, this is his backstory in his mind. He was unhappy since like December 1st, but he thought, if I can just get through the holidays,
oh boy,
I'll dump her in the new year.
Oh boy.
He thought that wouldn't ruin Christmas. Oh. Of course it does, because then you know someone was just trying to get by all through Christmas, right? Anywho, he couldn't do it. Because I asked him point blank on Christmas Day.
Oh no.
I could tell. We were having the best day. We were watching movies and just sitting in pajamas. It was the most lovely day, but there was a melancholy. And I said, are you unhappy like with this? I don't feel like we're doing this together. And he was like, no, you know. And I just went to bed with a bad feeling. And the next morning, he broke up with me.
Oh my goodness.
And his thing was like, listen, you asked, I can't lie. So, okay. But he's like, I was just going to try to pull this through to New Year's to not ruin your Christmas. I'm like, no. So Christmas was ruined. That was 2016.
Yeah. Oh, this hurts my heart.
Right? Yeah. Now it's January 2017. No Christmas, like Christmas ruined. I'm already dreading the next Christmas. And it was a tough year. I'm not going to lie. So, but now it's getting easier, but Christmas still has that stink on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so this one year, 2018, my friends were like, you've got to take Christmas back for yourself. And a friend of mine said, how many Christmases have you spent without your ex? You know, there was 30-ish years of your life you didn't know him. Go back to your Christmas stuff. And because in 2017, I didn't even really decorate. I put up like a sad little ceramic tree.
You really are breaking Brian's heart.
Yeah.
Like you really are.
Well, no, it's going to get better. So I don't know how I found you guys. Maybe someone DM'd me on Instagram or something. And they said, you got to check out this podcast, Deck the Hallmark. These guys watch Hallmark movies. And I was like, I can't even watch Hallmark movies anymore. Like, I stopped watching them.
Man.
It was so hard. I was just like, I can't even think about Christmas. And so I put on an episode and I wasn't sure at first because I'm like, oh, three guys, they're going to make fun of it. You know, I don't want to make fun of it either, even though I'm not into it. I heard it. And you sign off every episode with, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I burst into tears when I heard that. Like happy tears, like something happened. And I was like, Christmas is mine again. This is my new ritual, is that I watch every movie and then listen to your podcast about it. And then I got to be on the show, and then you guys became my friends, and I felt like you guys brought me back to life. Christmas is now doesn't remind me of my breakup. It reminds me of Christmas. It's just, you fixed me. Like, you guys make me so happy. So I can't thank you enough. That's my story.
I got to be honest.
This is why we do it.
I was going to quit. I was going to walk out and be done. But I feel like stories like this. Wow. I mean, are you kidding me
right
now?
That's great.
No.
Man, that's just, I mean, God bless you, Jen. That's too much credit for us. But, you know, you did. Brand got married a week or two before Christmas and made us all attend that dumb wedding. And
I hate her now, but I can't divorce her. Like, love Christmas.
Brand, don't even joke. Wait, did you have a Christmas wedding? Like Christmas themed?
Yeah. Jen, they, in their wedding vows, I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
He, I believe, said, I promise to always enjoy spending Christmas with you. Aww. That was in the wedding vows, Jen. And I'm back there just rolling my eyes. Just like, are we serious?
Well, like, you know, I think it's okay if you're that, like, some people just do it because they think of Christmas as a time to give presents. So let me get engaged, you know? But since you're so Christmas obsessed, I think it's actually like the biggest compliment that it's probably the second biggest important thing in your life besides your wife and kids. So you're bringing them in. You know, bringing your wife in.
That is true. And I never wanted to, it was really a promise to never stop enjoying the childlike wonder of Christmas. And so never just, you know, getting too busy or, you know, being like, it's whatever, not going to do. Like, I want to do this with you every year. And so it was a promise.
What was weird is the rest of the wedding wasn't Christmas at all. Like, the groomsmen were all in like suspenders and bow ties. It was like a Mumford and Sons video. Like, Mumford was big. Yeah. Mumford was big in 13-14, which is when you got married, right?
So yes. We were right at the precipice of suspenders in weddings. And then
all of his brothers were in it. None of you guys are skinny. And so it was just like white shirts with no jackets. Like, what are we even trying to do here?
It's a Santa Claus look.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Well,
it was something.
No, let me. Okay, so I will tell you my prejudices they were 2 second flashes in my head. But what I love about the podcast is here we got three straight white guys from the South. Mm.
That's what we need is more podcasts with three straight white guys. I've been trying to fight for it for years.
Underrepresented. But I went, oh my God, you guys are all so progressive. My favorite part about when you talk about these movies is you are horrified by the casual sexism or the lack of anyone of color or anyone, you know, you've mentioned, like, you can't just stick a black guy in a, you know, a movie about moving to Alaska and act like the only black family in Alaska is so psyched to be there with all these white people, you know,
that's right.
Or like the gay couples that never kiss. And I'm like, oh, so to all my listeners, like, this is, it's the perfect amount of sincere. And then just, you know, Dan. So I'm getting ahead of myself. It's perfect amount of sincere with ripping on it, but is a really socially conscious vibe to it that I think is fantastic. So
yeah,
it makes me happy.
The first episode we did was the first time I'd ever seen one of these, and I had to watch it in like 20-minute increments. And I got to the end, and I was like, they put one person of color in this movie to say a line, like, just so they could have it.
Yeah.
And I was just appalled. And then I think in the first episode, I said, you know what? These movies are so bad. Like, let's just let white people take these. Like, let's just let them take them and own the fact that they're terrible. But there is always a desire. Like, we always say, we don't explicitly talk about serious politics or religion, but our silence and our comments of sarcasm should speak volumes. Like,
yes.
The fact is, we want to see this get better. You're 100% right. Like, having a black family show up at the Elk Lodge in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, like, doesn't make it a diverse movie.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And in watching some of the other networks, they're just so far ahead. Like, Lifetime's patting, or Hallmark's patting themselves on the back, and it's just hysterical that they think that they are, you know, making any headway. And it's unfortunate. It's gotten better over the last 3 years,
which is what we want. That's why we need a lot. Like, we want them
every,
to be better.
In every conversation with someone that mattered, we'd be like, hey, what is the deal here? Like, why is it that, like you said, like, this woman who's a big shot lawyer is like, you know what? I've got to plan parties. Like, I have to plan. Like, there's nothing I can do. Dad wants me to plan parties. I've got to plan parties. And so there is this, you know, and we all three of us married incredibly strong, independent women who, you know, that matters to them. And so that's mm-hmm. been a big part of our lives for a long time. And so seeing this, it is like a time capsule. It, watching these movies yeah. is like watching. Occasionally I will say, is this a Mad Men episode? Like, yeah. are we in a Mad Men episode right now? Because it feels that way. So yeah, that's something we consistently do. And what's great is that our audience expects it, because if we do something that could be taken the wrong way, we'll get an email
yeah.
like immediately. Like, hey, like this sounded like you guys were doing something that would offend this group of people. You need to stop it. And yeah. we will, like, we'll take all of that very seriously, because, you know, if we're going to be three straight white guys shouting about inclusivity and diversity, we have to walk that line mm-hmm. and be that person in real life.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Well, I was going to ask you, and I'm going kind of backwards here. I still want to like start at the beginning and whatever, but you know, just let it flow. But I was going to ask you guys, what is your audience? Do you know? Because sometimes I wonder, do they have the, you know, we've got the Candace Cameron Bure on Hallmark, and you know, I can tell by your silences and comments that you guys are aware that she is. It's not that she's a Christian; it's that she might be. Like have nothing in common with Jesus in that she seems like maybe she's in some kind of cult sect of Christianity, or at least her brother is. You know, Kirk Cameron's out here in California doing anti-mask rallies and saying somehow that's what God wants. And I know that CCB is, you know, politically has like voted against anything to do with gay rights. And yet she has a lot of gay guy friends out here in LA, and I actually had a friend who was at a brunch that she was at take a secret video of her, and it was her with like eight gay guys in a pool, and that was the party. And I'm like, how are they friends with her, and how is she such a hypocrite anyway? But so I wonder, like, do you have that kind of conservative audience that doesn't get the ironic watching of these movies, do you have like people who are watching this ironically? Is it a mix? Well, what's your feedback been?
I would say it's a mix, but it would skew more towards the people who are in on the joke, that they understand exactly what's happening here, and they get it. I think it would be maybe one or two or very few people that would skew in the classic demographic. They're not listening to the podcast. They just aren't.
We tend to have a group of people that by and large love the bits and love the comedy aspect. And then there's an occasional person that's like, I sincerely love these movies, but I just love your friendship as well.
Yes.
And so like we have a couple people who are big subscribers of ours on our Patreon, which isn't Patreon at all. It's Bramble Jam Plus, but that will say, hey, like, I think you're too hard on CCB, but I love you guys. And we are really hard on CCB.
Yeah.
And I think that's because all three of us grew up in the church, and you know, we're all millennials right now are leaving the church because they've realized the church isn't doing the thing that we've been told the church is supposed to do all these years.
Oh, well, let's talk about religion for a second after you finish, but finish what you're going to say.
No. Like, so for us, seeing these people who feel, and we don't know CCB. Everybody we talk to about her says she's amazing, but seeing what Kirk Cameron does that just flies against the face of what you would think a teaching of Jesus would be, to prefer others, to love those less fortunate, to help the poor, to do all these things that aren't about you. Like, it's pretty clear you can juxtapose those two people, but like, it just, if it feels fake to us, we're going to give it a hard time. We're going, because we grew up around, all three of us grew up around that our whole lives. And so that's just kind of part of our DNA at this point.
Well, I always find it weird about Hallmark movies because it does seem to have a conservative audience. Like, there was a lot of blowback a few years ago when just in a commercial that was played during one of the Christmas movies, it was for a wedding planning site. And they showed two women,
Zola
getting married. Oh my God, everyone went crazy. And again, you don't know how many people it really is, you know, as opposed to how much noise they're making. But what's funny about these movies, and you guys have pointed it out, there is not one hint of religion in these movies unless it's about someone Jewish who's joining, and then they're always like the most, you know, they're like talking. They're like, most people I know are culturally Jewish. They're not like, here I am speaking Hebrew, you know, and so every Jewish character on the show is like from a very strict Jewish family, but everyone's celebrating Christmas on this show. I mean, they don't even go to church on Christmas Eve, which, you know, my family, I was raised Catholic, but even like in our years where we were kind of all losing our religion, we still go to church Christmas Eve. It's like a, it's an event, you know? And so there's no mention of church or anything. It's so a-religious, which is fine. But I was find, like, wouldn't that be offensive to anyone conservative watching? But I guess not.
Well, I think in some sense it is, but I think that's the kind of the brilliance of what they're doing. And I think it also shows you kind of the religious nature of Christianity right now, that we're easily, Christians are easily placated with a mere mention of God in some sense. It's the dumbing down of religious belief in a lot of ways. And so for them, they're happy with that. Oh, you're making something for me because you vaguely mentioned God. Hey, I'm all on board with that. It's pop corn Christianity or religion or whatever. Yeah.
Because in Cameron's movies, she will always be wearing a cross.
That's the exception.
Yeah.
She has some sort of, we talked to Rick Garman, who's a writer, and he's written for her and says, it's very important to her that there is a faith-based element in her movie. And so Bill Abbott, who's the CEO for that 10 years where Hallmark made billions of dollars, and they fired him over the Zola ad. That's what they fired him.
Oh, is that? They fired him. Yes. I thought he, okay.
Yes.
They fired him because he pulled it.
That's right. He pulled
the ad. And
Hallmark
said, yes, that wasn't the right move.
That's right.
So they pulled him, and now they're trying to.
Now they're trying to be more inclusive.
Exactly. Oh.
So like, if you were to have written a screenplay, say, around that time, it could have been just sitting on a desk for a year, and then it could have been picked up by someone else and greenlit pretty easily.
Oh, okay, got it.
Because that CEO was very, very particular, and he was the guy that he's super conservative.
Yeah.
He was the guy that said, if we don't have any specific mention, we welcome in a new set of audience that's just conservative. They don't have to be Christians. They're just conservative. And so Christians can watch and get the Christmas feels. Like, Brian gets the Christmas. Brian gets the Christmas feels, not the church feels. It's not birth of Jesus feels.
And truthfully, when Hallmark does dabble into it is when I get offended.
Oh,
so when they talk, like, they have a, they throw conservative Christians a bone every season. Like, there's a movie about an angel that can.
Hey, that's right. That's always the mysteries in movies, which if people listening don't understand, Hallmark has two channels. And
that's right.
One of the channels shows more the busy businesswoman. She drinks black coffee. She's going back to the country in her high heels. That's Hallmark Channel. But Hallmark Mysteries and Movies Channel is more like the troops, the angels. It's like that kind of thing. Yeah. But anyway, Brent, I'm sorry to cut you up. But yeah.
They do like an angel thing. They have a series called God Wink, which is just
awful.
Yeah. About when someone ends up with somebody, it's like God is winking at them, like, "Hey, look what it looked like."
It's really just a coincidence, but
yes, that's all it is.
Yeah,
the point we've made with the God Wink movies is this is no different than any of the other Hallmark movies, it's all coincidental. The only difference is that this one we're gonna say God was in on this one.
That's right.
The other ones,
that's right.
God was like, whatever.
Eyes wide open.
But this one I call dibs on. I call dibs on this one. Yeah. This one's not.
All right. Now, just because I'm curious, and then I'm gonna get back to the beginning of your story. We're gonna promote the book. What are your religious upbringings? Like, what's going on here? Like, Bran, Panda, Dan, take it away. I'll just say, start with Bran. Like, what were you brought up in a church and a Baptist thing?
Yeah.
That's my Southern racism.
No.
You're all Baptist. Well,
you nailed it. You nailed it. There's no way around it.
Yeah. Grew up in the church. My parents were really involved, and all of us kids grew up in the church, and I was really influenced. I was at youth group as often as I could. It was really the place where I kind of got to. With church, you get to work on whatever. Like, you can be a really bad musician, you can still play on stage and work and just try to get better.
Yeah.
And so it's how I learned music, and it's how I learned my love of doing like skits and stuff was all in the church. And so all that was kind of being worked out within the church. And, you know, still as an adult, I worked at a church for a while, working with students and mentoring them and all that stuff. And so, it's been a huge part of my life, forever. And it's evolved kind of what I believe and how I believe it and how it kind of works out in my life. But yeah, it's been a part of my life since the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, same way. I was raised in a conservative evangelical home, Southern Baptist. Went into ministry, graduate, you know, have a bachelor's, master's, and doctorate in the field of religion, and still love deeply Christianity. I mean, it's hugely impacted me, and I'm still deeply committed to it. I think the cultural expression of Western Americanized Christianity is oftentimes shameful, and it's not true to the religious tradition, the greater tradition that Christianity has. And I still believe that Christianity can be the greatest good in the world. I mean, that's my conviction. That's my heart. I teach it with students. I'm a religion teacher still to this day. So, you know, but that's just been my upbringing. It's influenced the way I think and see reality. And so, yeah, I love it. It breaks my heart so much of what I see done in the name of Christ.
Yeah.
Probably more than anything else. So,
well, you know, that's interesting. I would love to, next time you're in LA, like I am obsessed with, I don't know. I love learning about, I love people who have degrees in religion, which I know I'm making it sound stupid. You got a degree in religion, but I love.
You went to school and spent time on that.
Well,
you
spent money. That's what you're learning poor.
I love learning about. I don't know. Everything like what this really meant, because it actually was a political thing of the time, and we have to take into consideration. You know, I read this great book, Zealot. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I loved it. And I don't really remember much, but I just remember that I hadn't thought of all of the like political things that were going on at the time as well. And I just find it all very fascinating. And so I am as bored by atheism as I am by right-wing Christians yelling. You know, they're both just people yelling. And for I always refer to myself as like, I think it, like some of the religious upbringing I had was very helpful in terms of like we didn't go too hardcore like Catholics from Boston are very like you go to church, you go home, you don't mention Jesus outside of it.
It's like you thought every Southerner was a Baptist.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
In Boston is a Catholic.
Yeah,
and it's just like we do church 45 minutes, you go to the one without the choir because it's faster.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, you don't
standard.
You know, like anyone who talked about Jesus too much outside the home, it was like what you know, what you being weird. It was sort of like you get something to prove, you know? And so but I can hear it in the podcast, like the thoughtfulness of you guys. And this, the kind of, you do a lot of outreach, like a lot of your ads are about like donating to, you know, communities and schools and just the, I know you've all worked with kids. We'll get into that. So I can hear the like positive things that religion is supposed to be coming up from you guys. And then Dan, I'm sorry, we didn't get to you.
You're good. My dad's a Southern Baptist pastor still to this day.
Yeah.
My mom is an ordained minister who's a dean of women at a Christian college. My brother is an ordained minister in a Southern Baptist church. My degrees, master's, and all that stuff is in history. I grew up in the church. My parents actually, for all of that, were very, very not that in the home. Like my dad was at the Southern Baptist Convention when they said we're boycotting Disney because of the Gay Pride Day. And my dad came home and he was like, we're not doing that. Like, you go see Aladdin, like, go do the things that you would do.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is not what Jesus, like, this is like, he didn't have a comment. He didn't go in and be like, hey, the SBC said, we're going to do this. We're going to do it. So in our home, it was very grace-based. Like, we didn't have a lot of those hardened, weird conservative rules.
Yeah.
Like, only movies with these words can you see in them. Like, we didn't do that. But outside of that, I mean, I went to Christian school and, you know, whenever anyone else would preach in church, you would just be like, a lot of this doesn't sound like the Bible. Like it doesn't. And then you get to history class and I love United States history. I taught AP United States history for years. And you start realizing that what, you know, mainly Southern evangelicalism did to the church is just abhorrent.
Yeah.
Like, it's just terrible. I mean, there's literally from the time the Puritans reached, you know, Plymouth Rock, like from that time, they're trying to make America great again. Like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, totally.
Like they're trying to say you have to do it this way. And when we don't do it this way, we've fallen away from the things we're good at. Like Trump would say, we make America great again. What are you talking about? The 1950s where we were segregated?
Right.
Like what are you speaking of? You know, Jerry Falwell created an entire moral majority to vote Republican, not because of abortion, but because they were integrating schools and his all white school wasn't going to get a tax exempt status. Like, that's why he did it.
Right.
And so for me, like, learning all of that you know, really jaded me towards a lot of, you know, religion at the political level, like a lot of the structural religion. But I love Jesus.
Yeah.
Like I love the portrayal of someone who I believe was a real person.
Would you say Jesus is just all right with you?
Jesus is just all right with me. I would even say Jesus is still all right with me. DC Talk sang that in the 90s. And
preach
boy, was it. You know, they took that Doobie Brothers classic and made it a Christian song.
He's not just all right.
He's still all right.
Still yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Well, that's right. So yeah, I love Jesus. Still a big part of who I am, but that was my upbringing very much shaded that for sure.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Well, I love it. Well, listen, we went deep. Now let's go shallow. Let's tell the fun part. And I know, Dan, we'll get you out of here in time. So, Bran, you hate retelling this story. And I'm not asking you to retell it because I don't know. But they don't want to hear me. Now, I will give everyone the brief. You guys all used to work in school systems. Teachers, principals. I mean, you had real careers.
Actual jobs.
Actual jobs. You did not, you know, wake up one day and say, we're going to be podcasters. I mean, nobody of your generation or mine did because it wasn't a thing yet. But so, I mean, I would say you thought this is my life. Here's where it's going. And Bran, you were obsessed with Christmas the whole time. And you were what? You're the only one you knew watching Hallmark movies year round. And you decided to start a podcast. And take it away. Tell me how this whole thing started.
Yes, all of that is true. And I am... A creative in a lot of different aspects, whether it be music, podcasting kind of became a way for me to be creative and to just explore things that I think are interesting. So, you know, before this, it was interviewing people that have been abducted by aliens. And before that, it was interviewing bands that I really liked when I was 10. And so it's just doing different things that I think are fun and recording them and putting them out into the world, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I fell in love with these movies, 2014, 2015, when I discovered that I could turn on a channel and it would be Christmas stuff 24/7 from friggin' Halloween to New Year's. I was like, this is awesome. And when I discovered that I could, you know, walk out of a room and come back and still probably know what's going on, even better. And it's just Christmas stuff is going on. Lights are happening. Snow's falling. It's awesome. And I love them. And it was 2018. It was springtime. It was hot. And I hate the heat. And I, you know, typically make it a few months after Christmas without listening to Christmas music. And then I have to turn it back on because I love it. And I love Hallmark Christmas movies. And I wanted to hear thoughts on the previous year's movies. And so I was looking at podcasts. And there were some to choose from.
Yeah.
But none that I felt, spoke to me, like kind of got what I wanted out of them. They were all like pretty serious about, you know, breaking them down and gushing about them and all that's fine. And there's a lot of great Hallmark related podcasts out there, but I wanted one where it felt like I was hanging out with the dudes and I was loving them and we were still able to, you know, poke fun at them. And so I said, what I usually say is, let's just create it.
So you said to Panda and you said to Dan, who you knew at the time, mm-hmm. You all worked at the same school at the time.
So at the time, I had left the teaching field. Panda had just left.
I was just getting ready to leave. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I missed my boys. We didn't get to hang out as much.
I had a newborn who was born in December of 2017. Dan had two kids. Panda had a kid on the way. And it was just like a stage of life where
we just weren't going to get to hang out.
Yeah.
We weren't going to get to yeah. There's just no work.
We were sad, lonely boys.
We were sad, lonely boys, tired. And, I don't know. And, so we, so I threw the idea out to them and I was like, let's just watch these movies. We can talk about it. It'll be a lot of fun.
And you just thought like, we'll try. I mean, in your heart of hearts, you probably thought, I'd love this to be a regular podcast weekly, but you kind of to get them involved. So let's just do it once and see what happens.
This is where I pop in and say, first of all, Bran is a effervescent creative and everything that he decides he's going to put out.
Yeah.
He thinks is going to go like gangbusters. Even that dumb paranormal idea he had that he just talked about that nobody listened
to. By the way, it's hot right now. It's hot right now.
It's hot right now. Well, I'm ahead of the time.
The idea, it was called Starry Time with one R. It was Starry
because
Time.
Because we wanted it to be like,
I don't know.
I don't get it.
It was a bad idea.
No, we wanted it to be a play on Story Time. So instead of it being story, you just put an A in where the O is.
Starry Time.
And regardless of what it is read like, it's
He does this. He thinks they're all going to go like gangbusters. So he thought it was going to be huge initially. And he also... This was not unusual for him to say, let's start a podcast and do X. That was not, he would text us and do that regularly. Now, usually for some reason or another, it wouldn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
Maybe he found a better host or we were busy. But for some reason with this idea, it just worked out that we were all available to do it. His idea, he was confident in the idea from the get-go.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of us. And I said 100 people would never listen. So that's where I was. I was like, 100 people will never listen to this thing.
Yeah.
So we just were able to get it together for this one.
Yeah. And it wasn't going to be a one-off. We committed to the holiday season. So we were going to do every movie during the holiday season. I mean, the info that I left out was that Hallmark is crazy and that they put out.
I would have never agreed to 34 movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have never.
I think in 2017, they put out 30. And so
it's between 30 and 40 a year Christmas movies. Now, yeah. Yeah.
So I left that information out and I just made them commit. And so we decided to do a few of them in July of that year to kind of get our feet wet, to figure out the flow, to figure out the segments and to see if we had anything and kind of build some sort of audience so that we have some momentum heading into the holiday season. And so we did that and we said we would do like one a month and we went to weekly, I think in like August or something like that, September. And
I felt the way that you feel when Hallmark movies aren't on is at the beginning of your podcast in the early years, I was so sad when the season ended and I was like, I need this more. I need this all the time. And so the way I listen is I watch the Christmas movies and then listen to your podcast, but I listen to every episode, even though I'm not watching the shows, because I can't, like, there's just a point in a woman's life where you can't watch Hallmark movies year round. Like, it's, do you know what I mean? Like, you just, it's like, it takes you to a place. Like, I'm not ready to.
I think it takes any human to a place. I don't think it beats you down and sucks your soul out at some point, right?
It's a lot of, I mean, if you're not going to make money on it, like, I don't know how you do it because it's so much time.
People do it.
So, okay. So now you're doing the podcast and I didn't introduce you guys, but I'm going to do all that before, like, you won't even have to be here for it. But Bran is the one that comes on and says, hi, I'm Bran. I love Hallmark Christmas movies. Panda says, hi, I'm Panda. I like Hallmark Christmas movies. And Grumpy Dan is Grumpy Dan. I'm Dan. I despise Hallmark Christmas movies. Now, my pitch for Dan, though, is you are so lovably grumpy. I mean, obviously, you know this. It's no accident, but it's like you're more of the like, I see it more of like, no, I'm a real film critic and I'm going to just lay down the flaws. But you're not like what I like about it is I used to work on this show, Chelsea, lately, and it was like a little late night thing on E. And we made fun of celebrity stories. But the people that never did well when they came on the show, it was kind of like this, like three funny people sitting at a round table. The people that went, why are we even talking about this? It's stupid. It's like, OK, well, we've all agreed. We're here talking about it. So find the funny without negating the whole thing. And that's what I like about Dan's grumpy attitude is you're not like, this is stupid. Let's not even do it. It's like you're kind of rooting for the movie by being like, I could, like, why are you doing this? It's so absurd.
Every movie gets a fair shake when it starts.
Yeah.
Everyone. I want it to be good desperately.
Yeah. You've got that kindness underneath, which any good grump, you know, in history, we all love because We know their true heart. But okay, so now what's happening? When did all of a sudden I turn around? You guys are like on Good Morning America. The podcast is getting huge. You quit your jobs to watch Hallmark movies for a living. This is insane. So when did that happen? And were your wives like, what now? Like, I need to know, do your wives watch these movies with you? Was there like conflict? Did you guys almost break up? Not your marriages, but did the podcast almost break up over this? Because like, you know, brands like wants to go serious and you guys are like, come on, like, tell me that.
Well, I wish it was more interesting. None of our wives like these movies.
No.
That's the most interesting
I noticed
part
that none of you except Panda will say my wife popped in and she always seems to be busy, right. You know, living her life.
I would say that Haley watches more of them with Panda than either my wife has maybe seen two. When we first started, she was like, this will be great. I'll get a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. We'll laugh. And then the second one that she watched, she was like, Daniel, I am really sorry.
There's not enough wine.
I'm going to go to bed. That's right.
Well, and my wife will watch them with me and then we'll finish and I'll say, hey, I really like that. And she'll go, that was awful. And so I'm literally out on an island.
But and Caitlin is just so sweet, but she doesn't really like them.
She will watch a few each holiday season. And then she's just,
she's got to live up to those wedding vows. She better.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, come on.
She's contractually obligated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's just kind of like, you'll go to sleep. I'll have it on until I fall asleep type of thing. And she's fine with that.
All right. Now take me to like when this goes full time. Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So Good Morning America, we weren't prepared for, at all. We got written up because Bran was, spamming Facebook groups like, hey, listen to my podcast. And then he would write all of these. He's a creative genius. Mm-hmm. And he would write anybody that writes about Hallmark movies. He'd just say, hey, I got a podcast. Yeah. And it was different enough that they all bit Country Living, Southern Living, O Magazine. And so finally, like Pop Sugar picks us up and Good Morning America, Pop Sugar apparently is a big deal on the lines.
Yeah.
And Good Morning America sees it and says, we're going to mention it on the show. So they mention it on the show. And apparently that mentioned caused a bunch of traffic because they called us that afternoon. Mm-hmm. The show was on at 9 a.m. Yeah. They called. We're on the phone. I'm on the phone at 2.
Yeah.
These two guys can't figure out how to work a conference call. I'm on there by myself. And
directions were complicated.
There was a logistical. There was
not hard.
No,
it's just a conference call.
There's more.
Your millennials figure it out for the love. Anyway,
Dan, you're older than these guys, though, right?
I am. I'm almost 10 years older than Brandon.
Okay.
I'll be 38 on Saturday.
Okay, so they're the young. How old are you, Panda?
I'm 33.
Okay, so you guys are the younger. Dan, and I'm a Gen X. And I feel you have the soul of a Gen X. These are the younger millennials who, for some reason, had a computer their whole life.
That's right.
Can't figure out a conference call. Like, you're supposed to be the ones.
No they're offense. On the Facebook Messenger just like, I can't get in. It's Good Morning
America. Threw a lot of numbers at you and there was a code. There's a code for a phone
call. They changed the number, I think.
They changed it.
We were on the old line just talking, me and Panda, when everyone showed up.
I'm on the line just going, dear Lord, I hope they like Dan because they're not hearing any of Panda and Brand. And they go, this girl, she's a producer. She goes, so what's stopping you guys from being on the show tomorrow morning? And I was like, money? And she said, oh, no, we're covering everything. And I was like,
so they blew you up and put you up. Oh my God.
So they said, okay, we'll be in touch with travel accommodation. So I coached basketball at the time and we had practice. So I get off the phone at 2:30. We got practice at 3:00. And I was like, I called my wife. I was like, I guess we're going to New York tonight. We'll see if this turns out.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Sure enough, in 30 minutes, we get flight information. We got to be on a flight at 6:30.
What?
So we all get to the airport. We fly at 6:30 p.m. We land in...
It was delayed. That flight's always delayed.
Yeah, always delayed because it's going to Newark, right? Yeah. This is the only straight shot out of GSP.
Yeah.
Anyway, we land. We get picked up by a driver in this nice stretch SUV, and we get taken to the Millennium in Times Square. It's right across the street, literally not the main... Like, right across a side street from ABC Studios.
Yeah.
They drop us off. We have the driver at our disposal.
42nd.
Yeah.
42nd. Guys, you know that this, what has happened to you is literally a Hallmark movie plot. Right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
And
the country boys get you go viral, as they love to say.
Yeah. The best part is we get the driver and I'm in the front seat because I'm like 6'5". I'm just abnormally tall. And I'm just asking him questions. And I'm just like, so what's the favorite thing in New York? What's blah, blah, blah. Just because I'm Southern. And that's just how we're just wired to talk to people. And everything I say, he's like, it ain't what it used to be. Like, that's everything that I say to him.
Yeah.
And the next time we came in for GMA, we got the same driver.
Love.
And I sit in the front seat and I'm like, man, this city ain't what it used to be. And it just landed. It was great. Oh, it was like six months later, I got to make that joke. Anyway, we get there. We go over. We got to be there at 6 a.m. because even though our segment isn't until 8, they want to run through it like 100 times because we're not pros. They don't know, you know. And so we do the set long. There's a very long story about the segment that's funny, but I mean, we do the segment and it goes really well. They love it.
I'll link it in the show notes so they can watch it. I think
they kind of Johnny Carson us. They say, hold on. Like, we finished the segment. Yeah. They go to commercial and they go, hold on. We're going to pull your table back. And during the cooking segment with Iron Chef Michael Simon, we're just going to come over to you guys for commentary.
Oh my God.
And we're like, what?
Got invited to the couch.
We're sitting there and then they basically, we never got called for comments ever. The whole segment, we're like, this is dumb. But they said, hey, your segment went so long.
Yeah.
We had to cut Iron Chef Michael Simon short. So I'm sorry, Iron Chef Simon, my apologies. And so then they were like, but you guys need to come out and say goodbye with Robin and the cast at the end. So they brought us back out to do the goodbyes at the end. It was
surreal.
And then they were like, hey, if the Today Show calls, don't talk to them. Just let us know. We want to have you back for Christmas. We want to have you back for blah, blah, blah. And we literally made a website in the airport. Like we didn't have a website.
Wow. Like
we made a website in the airport. And so from that point,
I didn't know any of that.
We never could keep up.
Yeah.
We never could we got 50,000 listens that morning and it was just we didn't have anybody to sell ads and we didn't have. And so most of early 2019 was taking conference calls with companies that wanted to sell ads for us. And we landed on a really bad decision and we had a company do it. And then we were like, Panda was gone anyway. He had started his own business from home, so he had flexibility.
Yeah.
And so Brain and I had more of a full-time role that would be like more of a classic go to work during the week situation. And Brain and I just kind of said, there's probably enough here that we could do this full-time. And so, both of our wives were pretty fine with it. They were just like, this is crazy as is, whatever, And so we jumped at it and, now we're here watching movies 5 days a week, which is crazy.
Well, it's so funny too, because I knew that GMA stuff, but I mean, I knew they'd been on it. I think I watched it when it happened. But to me, the podcast always sounded so professional. You know, when people first start a podcast, it sounds like they're talking into tin cans and then like four. So to me, it seemed like this was always a plan, like from the outside. So what you just told me, I never knew. And that just makes it all the more exciting. It's almost like a destiny. It's so unstoppable. You can't say no. Like you've been chosen. This is your fate, And
it's a God wink.
That's a God shove. Like God just pushed it.
Yeah. That's right.
God is like blinking.
That's great.
So, all right. So, and now Dan has to go pick up his kids. So now here is
You got 15 minutes.
Okay, good. I'll take 10. So I'm going to get into the book in 1 second. So, okay. So now here you are doing it 5 days a week and I'm going to put everything in the show notes. I'm going to plug it galore. Like, I don't mean off air, but not during this. And, so now you're watching all the Hallmark movies and you're doing it and you started a podcast network, right? Called Bramble Jam Plus, or Bramble Jam Plus is what you can join if you want.
That's like our Patreon.
That's like your Patreon.
It's the Bramble Jam podcast.
But you started the Bramble. So you have other podcasts. Like there was My Life with Dolly, right? That your friend Justin Kirkland did.
That's right.
You've got a podcast. Like there's so many different things. You had one. And I love you, your regular guest, Alonzo Duralde. And he wrote the book with you guys, and he's like a film critic in real life, right?
He's a real film critic.
Real so yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So now, and you guys have had like actors from Hallmark on. You've had executives from the network, and I gotta be honest. When I first listened to, I don't know who it was, but some of the first interviews you did with Hallmark stars, I was nervous. Like, are they gonna have to pretend they love these movies? And I'm amazed at how cool all the actors are. And like they kind of are in on it too. Like they take pride in their work because they're actors and but they know it's like cheeky and kind of a silly thing, but
yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's why Candace hasn't been on the show. I mean,
she takes herself to, yeah. Like Andrew Walker is a good friend of the show. He's a cutie, oh, huh? Ladies, fellas.
Oh, he's the best.
Christopher Palaha, who's a big regular on your show on Hallmark. He wrote the foreword to your book. Now, were you nervous like talking to people? Or did you think like, did you feel comfortable being yourselves?
I was nervous because yeah. I get nervous talking to people. Yes, that's I'm socially awkward yeah. in general. So yeah, that was weird for
me. MO. And then Brand's lining up every guest we get. Brand is the one reaching out to every, the exception was, I believe you tweeted something about us. And I was like, guys, this is like a legit, she's got Netflix special. She's really funny. Like why in the world is she listening to
I
us?
Was How's begging to be on the show from the beginning.
but Brand Hood, like most of the Hallmark guests, like it's his contact. And the first one we did was Chris. And I called that movie a dog turd, I believe. yeah. And on the pod, Brand he had listened to the episode and Brand just was like, hey, what do you feel about Dan calling your movie a dog turd? And Chris was awesome about it. And at that point I was just like, if they're willing to come on, yeah. either they know what I am and they're cool with that and they get it, or they don't, and it'll be a great fun surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just was like, this is the best possible way to interview people, where you can be a little bit more honest and ask real questions when they know that you will be honest with them about their work or about what you thought about whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't come off like a press junket, like, you know, everyone's right. bullshitting each other. It's like, you know, you don't have to harp on like what's wrong with the movie, but you get to hear like, you know, it's nice actually to hear them take pride in it and they're not like, ugh, to do these things, you know, because I think you can yeah. probably make some good money if you're like contracted to do so many a year, you know?
Yep. Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
So lastly, I'll ask you, so now the book comes along and it is called... will you tell me the name because I don't have it in front of me?
I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies.
Genius title. Okay, so now the book is here. By the time this airs, it is out. Everyone go buy it. I read the book. What I loved about it is you each tell your own stories about your relationships to Christmas, to Hallmark movies, to each other. We've covered some of that here. And then it takes you into almost like a visual, right, episode of the podcast. You go through... Is it every Hallmark movie, Christmas movie that you've done as a podcast? It's like your catalog?
It's everyone from the first two seasons, plus then, a few extra.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 116. We've done closer to 200.
So it's like each movie gets its little synopsis with quotes that you guys said on the podcast. And it's a perfect coffee table book. I mean, you can just flip through it. And it's for people that are fans of these movies. You don't have to be because it's just a nice story of friends. And it's you've got... goddamn recipes in this book. I mean, I didn't see that coming. You've got legit baking and cocktail recipes. Who does that? I love it.
Yeah. I'd love to tell you that we really spent a lot of time on those.
Wait.
Alonzo Duraldi, who wrote the yeah. book, and the four of us get author credit. Alonzo wrote another book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas. Alonzo, this book was his idea. We had an idea, like we'd like to write a book, and he said, here's how you do it.
Ironically, like in the summer of
2019,
I texted you and I was like, hey, you're a New York Times bestseller.
And I was like, I don't know. I was just on yeah. Chelsea. It's funny because I got a book deal because it's just like your story. You know, there was an yeah. editor at Simon & Schuster who didn't want kids and she wanted a woman to write a book about it. And she was a fan of that show Chelsea Lately I was on. Now, if you're an author back then, the goal was to get on Chelsea's show because she's a best-selling author and people yeah. on her, she was like the Oprah of like, you know, less intelligent books. And so like, I mean, I'm insulting myself with that. And so her audience will buy books. And so that's why I got a book deal. People bought that book. No one bought the next one and I'm out of the business. And so when Brand texted me, I was like, I literally have no idea how it happened. It was that series of rando events, but it sounds like it kind of worked out for you in that same way where it's like Alonzo was yeah. like, let me help.
Well, Brand is he's like, hey, we should write a book and we don't know anything else. And Alonzo just emails us. He's like, this is the idea for a book. You make it for a book for people that don't necessarily know your podcast.
Yeah.
It's just for everyone that watches these movies. It can be an index of the movies and like what these guys thought about them. It can be your personal stories, but then it's interstitials. It's bingo cards yes! and drinking games and recipes. And he basically, aside from the frozen hot chocolate, which was a bit we did on Good Morning America, he came up, he asked friends and people in Los Angeles and came up with all these. We hired a food stylist. And so we did a photo shoot with us and the food And it came together just so perfectly. Yeah. Like we all are in the kitchen baking. None of us know how to bake. Like I legitimately, do you know how to bake?
No.
I mean, I can cook.
I'm
a little
bad.
Bit.
No, I'm real bad.
You're a good cook, but baking.
No
way.
We were involved in every aspect of the book except the baking.
That's right.
Yes. Alonso was like, how involved do you want to be with the baking? We were like, none at all.
Yeah, no.
He tested all the recipes.
It's all our words, but Alonso's ability to reduce the episode down to a page.
Yeah.
That's all him.
Yeah.
He is great at it. And so it was not difficult. You know, we wrote some essays at the beginning of the book, and then the book is all our words, but it's Alonzo's doing the work. Like he's doing the work
editing.
To make
it look really, make
really
it look great.
Well, it's fantastic. And I pre-ordered two copies, one for myself. I know I'm going to give one to someone else. I'm sure I'll buy more copies as we go. I knew the two people that I wanted to give it to, one being myself, but I mean, it is, listen, if you don't know someone very well and you need a quick gift, don't go with the candle. We all do that. Get this book because everyone's going to love it, especially if people like or hate Hallmark movies. And even if they don't, again, I think that recipes part is really clutch. I don't know the word, but
yeah, sure. Let's go clutch.
I think it's just, there's no reason you wouldn't have this book on your coffee table during the holiday season, unless you are, a bad person, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think
you have
a monster
with a heart full of coal. Now, I want to mention the success of the book so far, but you know, with my listeners, this is my issue with my listeners. They like to keep everyone, they don't want anyone getting a big head. I can't say, hey, this is going well, because then they'll unsubscribe. Well, she's fine then. So I got to just kind of always tell them, I need you. Don't think because I mentioned this other job I have that, you know, we're rolling it. Let's keep subscribing. So, but I will say you went to Amazon list like number one, like the minute it was released, right? No,
we did.
That was because of your two. I think that's right.
You bought the two.
The only books hard copy know. Books.
That's true.
Yeah.
Those are the only two.
Well, but do you know what?
I'm sure a dozen gets you on the New York Times.
Well, I will tell you, I'll tell you off air sometime, the amount that got me on the Times list for that one week is you would be shocked at. Like you, I have more people.
I'm happy to hear it.
I have more people in my family than the number of, but I think, so it's good. It's a bragging right that you hit number one so soon. I think this is going to go, I think you're going to be on every best-selling list. Like, I think you're going to have to be, do you have another book deal lined up? I mean, I think that's coming.
They have rights to the next two if we do more addendums or editions of this book.
And you better believe we're all going to be saying, my name is Panda, New York Times bestselling author. Yeah. That's what I'll
say. Oh, my God.
Right.
And by the way, just lastly, and I'm going to put links to the show notes and everything. There's an ongoing scandal on your podcast where some of the listeners complain that you guys do these bits, right? So you guys do your four segments and you may do bits on the show, like joking around, being silly, but you don't short shrift what the show really is, which is those four segments, which I love.
Correct.
And I think the bits are delightful. Now, what I like about the show is, like, you know, you guys aren't in quotes, like it doesn't say on your tax return, you know, stand-up comedian. And I don't listen to comedy podcasts. I'm, you know, stand-up comedians are not fun in real life if you have any friends that are like, we're grumpy, we're miserable, we never make jokes. And I just listen to like political stuff or whatever. And so you guys remind me, you ever have those people in your life, like all my friends back in Boston are hilarious, way funnier than me, but they just don't want to stand on a stage and do comedy. And that's what you guys remind me of, is like, you're so all naturally hilarious individually. And then when you bring all your personalities together, it almost seems manufactured. Like, how could you each literally be like three totally different people that all go so well together? You know, like, it's just a wonderful combination. And your bits are fun. I don't want three guys who are like, I can't believe this turned into a fucking job. I don't want that attitude. You know, I laugh all the time.
We, you know, spent years working together just trying to make each other laugh. Like, I would literally go into Panda's classroom, and Panda likes to be organized and on a schedule. And I would just make up a dumb reason to be there. And I would just start a bit with him in front of the, like, legitimately just to get him off track to see how he handled it. Like, I for no other reason, I didn't have any reason to stop.
No.
I would just be like, did you hear the news? And I would just pick up something.
Hey, Carl said he needs to move the meeting to three.
Logan called from accounting. going down.
And my students are all staring at us.
They're just blank.
And I have to go with the bit at that point.
It's going down?
Yeah. I was like, not Carl. Sometimes God forbid.
Pull him out, I'd be like, Sherry in the front row knows what you're talking about. Yeah. And he would have to, you know, and so that's what we live really to make each other laugh. If other people laugh, it's kind of a bonus. Sure. And I do think a lot of stand-up comedians are like that. I think the things that make them laugh are the things that are their best, you know, best material. And so, but we're definitely amateurs in that regard because we swing and miss a lot more often than we
But would. That's what makes me laugh. And Panda's like this unsung, like improv comedy, like genius, in my opinion. You know, like you may say you're socially awkward, but you go with everything so perfectly that it's like you seem like classically trained in improv. You know what I mean? Like,
That's what it is. Said it for years.
Like, Panda's such an important part of those bits going well, because you need someone that's like, okay, this is what we're doing right now. You know, like with you two loudmouths, like you need that Panda there who's like,
you have to have somebody who just kind of rolls with it and just, I don't know.
Oh guys,
for sure.
I am so proud of you. I can believe how much everything took off for you. I'm honored that you let me be part of it still now that you're big time.
Please.
I've been a fan since the beginning. I'd like to take credit for it getting popular, but I can't. It's nothing to do with me.
Please
but
do.
But I would like to be like, well, I did mention it on my podcast in 2018, but no big deal. Anyway, well, I'll let you guys go live your fabulous lives. I'm sure you have movies to watch. let's end it on this. We're going to end it with, may we be the first to wish you Merry Christmas. But before we do that, do you each have a favorite Hallmark Christmas movie? I know it's probably hard to think of the titles. But
my favorite one I've ever watched is not from Hallmark. We've started covering some other networks. Lifetime had a movie with Andrew Walker and Bethany Joy Lenz called Snowed In Christmas, I-N-N.
Oh, sure.
It is delightful. Okay. I legitimately enjoyed it. It is dumb and stupid and goofy like all the rest of them, but they sell it so well. You've got to watch it. That's the one that I always push. For Hallmark, Two Turtle Doves and Snow Bride.
Oh, Snow Bride is really legit good. Okay, I'm going to put Snow in. Yep. Yeah, Panda.
Five Star Christmas from last year is the best one they did last year, and it's one of the most memorable overall. Yeah, I mean, it's really just, funny.
Was that the goofy one with the travel writer and the family pretending to be? Yeah, that was really good.
Really fun.
Bran?
Yep.
The Godwin.
Shut up.
I genuinely love anytime there's Christmas magic involved.
Oh, okay.
I want there to be a Santa that you think is could be real, and then you see him fly off in the distance. So anytime that happens, I'm in.
Yeah.
And so just put Christmas magic in general
Leslie, I'm going to leave you on really quick thing. One of the first things I did before your podcast came around, I swear I wasn't ripping you off, is I had to tell a story on some like public radio thing, and I didn't really have a story. I had just watched a Hallmark movie that I loved, and I told a story of this Hallmark movie and how I thought it was actually very feminist and very genius. And I forget the name of the movie, but I hope you guys watch it and review it. It's a woman who busy Christmas Eve working New York City, says to Santa, who's really magical, like, what if I had married my high school boyfriend? She wakes up, she's in her parents' home.
It's the Lacey Chabert movie.
No, it's not Lacey Chabert. I don't think.
It's not.
Her boyfriend works at a bookstore. This is the best movie. Her boyfriend works at a bookstore. So she goes back in time, or maybe it is Lacey Chabert. She's living the life that like,
and they have kids.
No, it's not that one. No. So she goes back in time. Her basically what happened in real life is she got engaged and she got a job offer in New York City. And the job was like, fuck you, then you can't work here because you got engaged. And she was only in like upstate New York. Like she could have commuted. Like, and so she's like this single lonely woman who chose a job over a man. So she wishes, and she doesn't wish, but it's similar to the Lacey Chabert. I know the one you're talking about. It's not that. So she wakes up in her childhood bed. She's back with her ex. He proposes. And this time she says yes. And his dad's bookstore is going under. And this is the 90s. And she's like, why don't you sell the books online? And he's like AOL, what's online? And she's like, and so she goes into her room with this like 1990s computer and starts doing stuff and basically invents like Amazon.com because she's.
That's right.
So then the best part.
The best part is
she goes to the bookstore the next day and there are lines around the block. And he goes, whatever you did with selling books online worked. What? Why would people?
We're still here to pick him up. They're here to pick him up.
So basically, What happens is, spoiler, it all works out. The movie ends with them both in bed together in the New York City apartment. He is bringing her breakfast in bed, and they stole the idea. They created Amazon. Wow. Jeff Bezos never existed.
I love it.
They don't have kids, and the man is making her, bringing her breakfast in bed. And I'm like, this is the most fucked up movie. Like, they literally stole an idea and they're fine with it. Anyway, if you can find that movie, please review it. It's the greatest movie of all time. I'll find it.
Wow.
Anyway, all right, I'll let you guys go. I love you. This will come out in September. I'll promote. You're going to be a bestseller. I see good things.
Fantastic. Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll email you offline.
Merry Christmas.
What?
Merry Christmas before I take off? You're good.
May we be the first to wish you. Oh, no, you say it.
May we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.